Welcome to the Business Buyer Diaries. My name is Nathan Platter. I'm a full-time employee, and I bought a business. I did everything right, from finding the deal, handling all the due diligence on 63 opportunities, and ultimately bought a profitable gym. And boy, was I in for a big surprise as a new owner. I chronicled everything in real time, including the biggest wins to the stressful nights at 2 a.m. I'm sharing my journey without sugarcoating anything, so you don't make the same mistakes that I did. Here's today's episode.
Oh, man. I am in over my head. All right, well, here's how I made that conclusion. So it's Monday. Having a good day. It's almost the end of the month, and some good news. So my one of the first deposits to my account. Woo! $650. That is like a third of what he used to be doing every day. But I digress. So I'm finding out. And here's what I'm learning. Like, I need to make executive decisions, go with my gut, and run with it after gathering all the info. It happened twice this morning. It's 11:30, and I'm figuring out, like, who do I listen to? Who do I trust? So from 8:30 to 10, I met with the seller, or one of the sellers. So the seller, he still has stake in the Twitter club, one of which I'm buying. And so the whole process, talking to him. Last week, I talked to the head of sales for the franchise, and I'm like, oh man, this is great. I love the direction the franchise is going. This is amazing. And I'm talking to the seller. He's like, yeah, I talked to the head of sales, and like, he's completely off of like half of all he says. And I'm like, wait, what? And I said, well, what about this thing? This thing, he's like, yeah, that may work for this market and that market. I don't think it's going to work in the market you're in. And like, the seller, like, this is like the fifth best club out of like 60 in the system. So like, he kind of knows what he's talking about. Oh, what do I do? But I listen to like, like the head of sales was doing this big promotion. Like, we set for these 10-week challenges, you get this big promotional box, special stickers, commemorative tokens, like super limited stuff that's actually pretty fun, exciting to think about. And then like, bring those up to the seller's like, yeah, I don't quite know. I'd rather have more, my gym at full capacity, and then start charging like higher amounts per person. But right now I have an occupancy issue. I don't have a revenue per member issue. Like, well, that kind of makes sense. But I've been talking to head of sales for the franchise. He's like, what we need is like higher premium pricing to get the right member. It's like, oh, what does that mean? Like, okay, well, $200 a month plus a 9% surcharge on any monthly recurring. So like, every member is paying like $215, $220. Or if they do like a one long year paid in full, it's $2,400. Like, no matter who you are, that's a lot of money. Like, that's a lot of money for a 12-month membership. But then talking to the seller about it, he's like, yeah, like, so I can run my classes, and every new member is money straight to the bottom line. So like, even if I charge $200 a month or $100 a month, I go straight to my profit. Like, I'm already paying rent, I'm already paying utilities. I may as well just have more profit. And once I have full capacity in my classes, then I can start saying, all right, prices are going up. And then you now still need your full occupancy, but now you're getting more profit per member instead of just zero or $220 a month, you're now at least getting $100, which is $100 is better than zero. Not as good as $200, but it's better than zero. Like, everyone is so convincing. Like, these are all legit points. So I don't know what to do, to be honest. That's one example. And the second example is, I had the weekly team member meeting. It was good. Talked to the head manager and the part-time manager. One part-time manager can make it, but whatever. And so the topic today was sparring. So when you're doing a kickboxing class, there's one tower, and then you have two people who are taking turns, like, right punch, left punch, right kick. Then first, them, right punch, left punch, right kick. Now it's back to the first person's turn. So you're taking turns on figuring out who goes where. And apparently, a couple members are, like, not a huge fan of it. And one of the head manager is like, no, this is, like, a do-or-die thing. Like, this is a big deal. This is, you get a better workout, you build way stickier community, people will start opening up on other fronts. Like, this is a big deal. And a few members are like, oh, I don't know, but for me, I just won't come to classes when we have that sparring workout session. I'm like, okay, well, then don't come here on those days. Oh, membership, fine. And the manager is like, no, like, this is on a dramatic side, I'll exaggerate a little bit. This is a big deal. If we're not, members are willing to come but not spar, they're signing up for their membership and not signing up for our membership experience. This is a do-or-die thing. I don't know if we want to keep this kind of member. It's a dramatic. It's a more, like, other end of the spectrum. So realizing like, well, crap, I want the members' revenue. I want stuff to make sure, we have full capacity. We're charging fair rates to get a good workout. But now seeing like, well, what if they, I don't know what to do, man. Like, one of my managers is very much, hey, they need to get their own individual workout. The other manager is like, the members need to get our workout because we're a brand. We have our, we need to make sure if we're not doing any workout for any member because we're not any Jeff. And the other manager is like, well, they are paying us. Kind of getting what they're looking for. And so at this point, like, I'm a newbie. I've only been with this club 4 months. I am green on all of. And so, like, one of the sellers is a former accountant. He probably does not have a preference. One of the managers has been with the studio for 5 years, instructed for 4 years. Another manager has been with the club for 2 years, and instructed for a year and a half. And at the end of all this, like, back and forth debate, this revenue model versus that revenue model, this workout philosophy versus that workout philosophy, at the end of the debate, it's kind of like, well, they've stayed their side. Now, like, there's a moment of awkward death space. I had to step up and executive decision. Here's what we're doing. Here's why. Here's where we're going. And I'll admit, I am used to hearing all sides, sympathizing with both sides, acknowledging both sides. I am not used to whacking my gavel on the table and deciding what we're doing and running with it and not looking back. Like, this past weekend in fantasy football, quick story. I switched out my kicker. As soon as I replaced my kicker, I instantly follow the kicker I just dropped to see if they're going to have a better week. Like, I hang on to my ex a little bit. And that's bad. Can I do that as a business owner? You need to make that decision, run forward, cannot look back, cannot look sideways. You can gather new additional input, like my fellow franchisees. I can see what additional input they do for their Black Friday deals or what they run. But I'm learning I have to be executive and part of the phrase, not give a shit as to the fallout, but acknowledge it. Like, all right, I made a mistake. I'll reevaluate it in 3 months. Instead of like hanging on to the decision right after I make the decision. So I've learned very quickly. I'd have this, like, I'm going to make a decision. I am the boss. I am the authority. I'm going to make the decision. We're rocking and rolling forward. I'm not going to care if someone instantly pushes back because I made the decision. Decision has been made. Patent has been signed. We're done with it. And that's new territory for me. I am not used to that. I am used to kind of being wishy-washy, flip-floppy, seeing the strengths on both sides, and hearing people out. And that's good in a certain situation. And I haven't been in enough situations where I have to not give a shit. And seeing forward. That is uncomfortable for me. Feels hard and mean and like I don't care. And I do care. And that's why I let people sway me. Because I've been cast aside. I've been ignored. I've been trampled on. And that's the flip side of it. I've been trampled on when I let people talk into my decision way too much. And like my managers are not out to get. They're not out to try to deal for me. The seller is not trying to get me. I don't think my manager ought to get me. And it's uncomfortable because I'm being forced to be a little bit more like a Donald Trump. But at the end of the day, love him or hate him, you can at least respect that kind of authoritative figure. And not gonna lie, like he's a jerk. But yet I respect the man. And somebody who's always gonna listen. And like, as soon as they make a decision, they still listen in. I'm not going to respect that person. Once they make a decision, we're proceeding in this direction. We are going to choose this kind of business, this kind of member, with this kind of revenue, with this kind of strategy. That is a respectable way to run a business. If I were to see one of my friends running a gym, wishy-washy, always listening, always willing to change minds, I would not invest my eggs in their basket. I would not do it. But someone who's going to be like, no, you made the wrong decision, but I respect your decision. That's the kind of person I could work for. So I'm thinking about this out loud. I need to think of how am I going to get the commitment of my people and how what's going to work for expanding to 5 locations, each doing $20,000 a month in profit. That is the trajectory. That is the goal. That is where we are running. What's going to get us there more likely, faster, with more, what's going to be more certain, with more speed, with the least amount of headache and stress along the way. It's going to be that owner that makes the executive decision, that runs people over in a small way, but also gets the right people on board as well. So I think this podcast, this episode, this whatever this thing turns into, people are sitting on the brakes. What is going in that direction is the best. And really, I have to be more callous. Thinking aloud, I have to be more callous, more direct, more decisive. And I'm not going to say like, hey, you're stupid, I'm going to ignore you. Say like, hey, based off your opinion, thank you, I appreciate it. Given this and this and this, I'm going to make this decision that you're not a fan of. And acknowledging, I will not allow it. I need to practice this muscle, not backpedaling, apologizing if I make a decision that someone does not like, because that does not get us in a direction where I'm growing my staff, growing the members, enhancing the experience, benefiting myself along the way. And this is new territory, and I'm being transparent, and I'm talking way much into it. So I'm going to be done. That's where we're going. And that's where we're proceeding. And I can't wait to work with people that want to do that. And if I can do it, you can do it. It's rock and roll.
This has been another episode of the Business Buyer Diaries. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. I hope you're realizing that business ownership is no cakewalk. Check the podcast notes for a link to the DIY due diligence program, the complete list of show sponsors, and for media inquiries. Music written and composed by Wes Schrock. I'm your host, Nathan Platter. Join me again on the next one.